Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Of Holland Capitas and tee it up for Brian Batko, who is back from vacation and back chasing down stories about the NFL. How you doing, Brian?
Hey, Paul. I teed it up a few times while on vacation last week in Virginia myself. And let's just say, as someone who doesn't play very much golf at all and only recently picked up the sport, it didn't go all that well for me.
Well, that's all right. I always say the great thing about golf is even if you play well, you still probably have a – even if you don't play well, you still probably had a good time on the course in the sun, right? And that's all that matters.
Yeah. Yeah, it was hot down there. It was in the 90s. And, you know, when I say I don't play a lot of golf, I'm talking like I've played three or four actual rounds in my life now probably. So while I'm horrible at it, yes, it's definitely still a good time. Got to play with people on both sides of my family. So it was pretty fun, even though I can't drive the ball for the life of me.
Well, just keep working at it. I'm sure that someone as athletic as yourself will be able to pick it up and become a pretty good player at some point. I have faith in you, Brian.
Thanks, Paul. I needed that.
Yeah. Brian, I look at the NFL Players Association plan that they now are saying the NFL is not following. And I'm having a hard time figuring out what are they upset about. Is it just the length of training camp? Am I reading that right?
I definitely see some inconsistencies in what the NFLPA is pushing for. And you can probably, you know, make a somewhat wise assumption if you know anything about players' associations and unions and things like that. I mean, it's really trying to get ahead of the bargaining that's to come. And for them, that's going to be on a lot of fronts. And now the most recent one is the economic front that I think they have to start thinking about, and the league is obviously thinking about in terms of revenue potentially changing this year. But one of the I don't know if you want to call it a contradiction or whatever, in what the NFLPA is putting out there is, you know, they're saying they want a longer training camp because they're concerned about injuries, and they've cited a lot of numbers from the 2011 season when the labor negotiations basically made for the same kind of off season without OTAs and mini camps and no spring football. And they said injuries went up that year, and they want to try to avoid that here in 2020. But then they say they don't want to play any preseason games, which I think if you're the NFL, you could at least argue that if you're worried about injuries and you know, rust and things like that, then you should get out there in the preseason and knock some of that rust off. So they're going to come to a little bit of an impasse here, I think, but I'm starting to wonder if maybe the plan for both sides in terms of an ideal compromise is playing only one preseason game.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's, you know, that's probably what it's going to come down. And I think that when it really is all said and done, do we really care if there's one or two preseason games? I know the owners say they do, but they're probably not going to be selling tickets to them. So, how, you know, really, what does that change in terms of their revenue?
Yeah, if you're asking, you know, what does the NFL stand to gain from playing them? I don't really know. I mean, I don't think anyone really likes them except for the coaches. So maybe it's a matter of the coaches wanting that time to evaluate the roster or at least implement systems and schemes. So that runs up the flagpole to you know, the front office, and that gets run up to the owners, and then the owners run that up to Roger Goodell and the rest of the league. So it's going to be one of those things where, I mean, yeah, the players aren't going to like it, and you've already seen some players say, okay, they think the preseason games are going to be shortened to two. Well, we think there's going to be one or maybe even zero. That to me is yeah, just another sign of the players trying to get ahead of it. So that maybe they can at least compromise and get as few preseason games as possible. I don't think fans really care at all. As media, I don't particularly care. They're not fun to go to as a fan or fun to watch on TV as a fan. They're not really all that fun to cover. I mean, maybe this is a unique year in which people will actually be clamoring for preseason football a little bit, just because there's been a dearth of sports over the last few months during the pandemic. But I don't think anybody really loses a whole lot if you don't have preseason games. And if you're coaches, you can still use practice settings to evaluate your roster, even though Mike Tomlin has said before that it's not quite the same as being, as he always puts it, in stadium.
Right. It's not the same, but by the same token, you know, there's nothing that's really the same. I think one of the things that the NFLPA guy said and he brought out was the fact that if you look at other sports and what they're doing, he said he basically what they don't want is a situation where they start working out and even playing games and then have to stop. And I'm still not sure I understand what that has to do with preseason games.
Yeah, and to me, I mean, the idea of a prolonged training camp, I guess, is interesting. And if you're the players, it's one thing you throw out there just so that you can kind of buy some time for yourself in terms of the negotiations that are going to come up. I mean, I guess this latest thing that was, you know, kind of breaking right before I came on here with you is that the league is proposing to the players' union that 35% of players' salaries be put into an escrow fund to help, you know, kind of offset or at least potentially offset costs that you'll lose in revenue during 2020. So no player is going to want the league coming in and either even potentially messing with their money and maybe even down the line actually messing with their money. So it's not going to be real pretty. I don't think it's going to get as ugly as the baseball negotiations were, but at least at this point, it's still very fluid, and it's all going to depend on just how much football we can get in safely, whether there's any fans at all packed into to stadiums, and of course, you know, how the players will eventually respond to all the protocols that are in place to, at least at this point, get everybody started in training camp by July 28th.
Do by the and we're talking with Brian Bacco of the Post Gazette. You can find his stuff postgazette.com. Brian, do you buy any of the stuff about the league is looking into these helmets that have like a face mask, like a shield that is a part of the, you know, do you buy any of that kind of stuff? Because I feel like there will be some players who will fight against that.
Yeah, there's always going to be some players who fight against it. But I mean, one of the mock-ups I saw looked somewhat reasonable and less obtrusive, I guess, if that's the right word, than some of the amateurs who have put you know, concepts out there. So I mean, if that's something that will give these guys peace of mind, then maybe you do introduce that, or maybe you can do it on a voluntary basis or something like that. I mean, even within the Steelers, Paul, I mean, there's different opinions on resuming play and everything like that. And that's natural to have when you've got 90 guys on a roster. I mean, I think Marquise Pouncey has been on this station with our colleagues, Ron Cook and Joe Starkey, basically saying we need to get back to work. And you know, this is a league that it's a show that must go on. But then, you know, you have a Zoom call with Cam Hayward in local media where he says, let's just be safe here and be cautious and find out a lot more before everything resumes. So if that's something that can at least you know, quell some concerns from your constituents, then yeah, I mean, I guess the league's going to have to realistically look into that, as long as it's something that doesn't really impede guys' comfort and visibility and things like that when you're on the field.
Yeah, I mean, you know how guys like to have their own. I mean, I remember when hockey started, you know, having those face shields or whatever. There were a number of guys that fought against it, and anything like that that makes you a little safer, I'm not sure why you would, but it is a free country, so you never know why people do the things that they do. Last one for you, Brian. I would be remiss if I didn't ask you to give me your thoughts on the contract that was just signed by Patrick Mahomes. There are some people that think that the Chiefs actually got off easy here.
Yeah, and I saw your column today on it, Paul, just, or maybe it was yesterday, wondering if this is actually going to hurt the Chiefs in the long run. And I see where you're coming from on that, because you look at some of the teams that in recent years have had some of the biggest deals, the Seahawks, Russell Wilson, the Steelers, and Big Ben, of course. We know they haven't even made the postseason the last couple of years. It looks like the Rams might have goofed up with Jared Goff. I think it's even fair to wonder about what the Eagles gave Carson Wentz. But for me, I think Mahomes is a little bit different, and the only other guy in the league that would maybe even come close to commanding a deal for this type of money and this type of length would be Lamar Jackson at this point, given his age and production. So, but he's someone that puts himself in harm's way even a lot more than a guy who plays like Patrick Mahomes does. So I think at this point, from what I've read and what I've researched on the deal, it really doesn't change much for their salary cap in the short term. And I think if you're the Chiefs, you know, in the NFL, nothing is guaranteed. Your angle or your trajectory of your franchise can change with any injury or player loss in any given year. So they're trying to essentially strike while the iron's hot and balance that with a long-term franchise quarterback, which I think you need to win the big one. So I like the deal for the Chiefs, and I think it goes without saying that you love the deal if you're Patrick Mahomes and his family and his agent. So I guess I'm not quite totally with you here in thinking that this is going to prevent the Chiefs from reaching the pinnacle of the sport again by going with a guy who is not always and soon won't be on one of those team-friendly rookie deals.
Well, it's you know, you're absolutely right. We'll have to see how it all, you know, develops. And frankly, 8 years from now, $45 million a year might be nothing. So you never know. Well, Brian, I appreciate you taking some time, and I appreciate it. And I hope that you will keep working on that golf game.
Thanks, Paul. I don't know if my wife would agree with you.
Yeah, well, of course, there's always that. So thanks, man. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, see you.
All right, that's Brian Batko of the Post Gazette. Does a great job for the Post Gazette. Works, really works his tail off in terms of, you know, just working his way up from the bottom or whatever. And so that's Brian Batko. I'm Paul Zeiss. I got to get to a break. It's 93.7 The Fan.
Sports Radio.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.